I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
Woo! All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Appreciate you joining me today. This is, for 2 hours every morning, a safe space for you independent thinkers out there beholden to no party, no politician. Two parties were a little bit on display yesterday with the hearings with the tech titans, the oligarchs that rule us all, and the information that we are allowed to see. Kind of interesting. I've got a clip from Tucker Carlson with some things that I definitely did not know about some Republican ties to big tech that were a little counterintuitive to me. Most people, this might be one of those things other people know more about it than I do, but that took me down a bit of a rabbit hole. I started looking at some of our local people and their tech affiliations, and then that took me to a kind of a local lobbying group. This is what happens with the Mike Madison Show, is we kind of grab onto a topic and chase it down like a bloodhound. So we'll get to that. Get to that in just a little bit. I got my quote of the day today. It's not so much a quote as it was the beginning of a story by a guy named Russ Bangs. I don't know who this is. I can't remember even what website it was I found this on, but it just struck me. Western civilization, led by the U.S. government and media, has embarked upon a campaign of mass psychological terrorism designed to cover for the collapsing economy, set up a new pretext for Wall Street's ongoing plunder expedition, radically escalate the police state, deeply traumatize people into submission to total social conformity, and radically aggravate the antisocial, anti-human atomization of the people. I think not especially a cheery quote, but spot on as I see it. I'm just always happy to see somebody else who doesn't lay this as some kind of all the hysteria surrounding COVID is not some election plot. Maybe used for that, but I tell you what, when we see what's going on with Wall Street right now, well, I mean, I see what's going on with Wall Street. I guess I shouldn't use the we. Most people aren't paying any attention to it whatsoever, even though it's 10 times what it was in 2008 in terms of bailouts, and more about that in just a minute. But it is strange, and as they say, mass psychological terrorism, I think, is probably a pretty good way to describe what's going on. Have you gotten your goggles yet? Did you hear this yesterday? Did you hear Anthony Fauci? I'm not even going to play the clip because I've gotten to where I haven't gotten COVID, at least not that I know. This disease is so dangerous that you have to get a test to even know if you have it. I mean, that's some scary stuff, people. You don't even display any symptoms you could have this thing. I mean, it's insanity. But the sound of Fauci's voice actually does make me sick, so I'm not going to play a clip from him today. But he did a show yesterday, did an interview with someone, and I think this might have been CNN, maybe at ABC, you know, where the interviewer asks with furrowed brow, "Well, Dr. Fauci, should we maybe be wearing goggles too?" And then he goes into the whole thing where this disease can come in through the eyes too. So if you really want to protect yourself, so I'm anticipating, maybe sometime soon, my next trip to the grocery store, I will begin to see goggled people. Usually, you know, Mississippi's like everything else when it comes to fashion or food. And I lived out in Los Angeles in 1986. I think that's right. Yeah, 1986. I lived out in Los Angeles for 4 or 5 months. Sushi restaurants everywhere. Jackson got sushi in 1990, you know, so like everything else, maybe the goggles will take a little while to get here, but I would imagine in the more trendy spots around the country, they may already be goggling up for the coronavirus, because it can. It's a mucoid center. I believe I'm quoting that correctly from Dr. Fauci yesterday. You know, then he points. He does the mouth, nose, eyes, pointing to the mucoid centers. I don't think I'm saying that right. So now maybe they can get us just full face mask going on. There is a story. Here's a sentence that will get very little traction. I posted this to my Gab page. That's right. Mike Madison Show knows how to succeed. I left my 300-something followers on Facebook to go to Gab, where I looked this morning and was kind of pleasantly surprised. I've got 11 followers on Gab, but I refuse to blast big censorship, big tech censorship, and then refer you to my Facebook page any longer. So I've moved my presence for the radio show over to Gab. That's gab.com. For those of you who may not be familiar with it, and most people aren't, it is the Facebook alternative that people should be using if you're not a fan of Zuckerberg and the Facebook censorship. Anyway, I posted to my gab.com page for the Mike Madison Show this story that a guy did. Let's see what his name is here. It's Barry Norris. He is with the Argonaut Capital. And the headline of this thing is "The Biggest Fraud Ever, Part 1, The Hocus Science in quotes there, behind the lockdowns." Now, again, this is not about the disease being an actual hoax, but it does go through really, really very rational perspectives on the numbers. One of the things that he brings up in a chart that he's got that I find fascinating is the pandemics that we have suffered through before and where this ranks compared to those, the worst one apparently being smallpox, which has just been around for forever, killed 300 million people. Now, that's over a long period of time. That was not an actual single-issue pandemic, but 300 million people had gone down to smallpox, 225 million to the Black Death. Of course, that was over the period of 4 years, 225 million people. Spanish flu, that's the 1918-1919, 50 million people died. It gives a combined total for HIV/AIDS, which is somewhere between 23 and 43 million people. But when you get to the actual kind of small, limited outbreaks, here are the ones that I'm most interested in. This is the Asian flu. This is H2N2 of 1957-1958, which worldwide killed 1.1 million people, yet no lockdowns. Do you know what was happening in the United States during 1957-1958? Economically, we were building a huge middle class. The middle class was on the upswing. The manufacturing was humming along. And I got to tell you that I've talked about these before. We've had these pandemics before, yet life went on. There were some tragic stories. I believe in the 1957-1958 in the U.S., the death toll, I believe, was somewhere just north of 100,000. And tragic stories across the board, and probably a pretty accurate number, because that was before the government started giving bonuses to hospitals for anybody that came in with H2N2 in 1957-58. There was no bonus for the hospital. There was no bonus for putting somebody on a ventilator. These are new constructions we've done now because we've gotten so much smarter, I guess. But there were over 100,000 people killed in the H2N2 in 1957-58, yet no lockdowns. The Russian flu, which was also probably a H2N2 of 1889-90, killed a million people. Hong Kong flu, this is another one that's interesting to me. The Hong Kong flu, this was H3N2. This was the 1968 to 1970 pandemic, most centered in 68 and 69, as it came in a couple of waves through a couple of seasons. Killed a million people, still more than we have now. Yet, what did we do during 1968-69 in the United States? Woodstock. Businesses were open, bars were open, people were allowed to get their hair cut, and I believe in the 68-69 pandemic here in the United States, I think the number is around 116,000 people died of that. So, but still no change to the way we went about our life. And then, but worldwide on that 1968-1970, worldwide the death count was 1 million. With COVID so far right now, this is actually as of, what is this date? This is of May, so it's an old figure. I think are we over 500,000 deaths right now, so still half of what the 1968-69 pandemic was. Anyway, this story, if you do find yourself slumming it over on gab.com, and you can find this, or you can just look it up. It's also linked on Zero Hedge, which is a pretty popular website. You may find it. Again, this guy's name is Barry Norris at Argonaut Capital. The reason I felt that even the need to post this, because I just don't post a lot of social media, this article is kind of like a test of someone's rationality. I'm going to do this with a couple of people I know who are really freaked out about coronavirus and think we should all shut down again for at least 6 weeks or 2 months or whatever. I mean, they're all drawing paychecks. Everybody that I know that is all fine with lockdowns, they have jobs where they work remotely, some of them making more money now during this pandemic than they were before. This is why they are very excited or very ready to accept shutdowns. They don't own small businesses. They aren't going bankrupt. But this is a great article. I think it is it's a test of rationality because it's laid out well. It doesn't call anybody who gets into the hysteria of COVID. It doesn't call them any names. It doesn't call them stupid. It just lays this out. It's got several charts in it that are very telling about the ages at which people have succumbed to coronavirus. It shows how this is largely a disease that dramatically affects those 60 years and older, and particularly 80 years and older, so you get some idea of the lethality of this thing is really for older people who are always more susceptible to things. Anyway, I think it's a good article to share. And then just sit back, just share it. You know, you don't say, see, you're so stupid. This is all a big hoax. And then send this article to them. You just go, hey, have you seen this? These statistics kind of, I think they kind of give you a little bit of perspective on where we are. Do it calmly. And then you just sit back and see if that friend or family member that you send that article to is able to think for themselves, or are they so conditioned, so scared of a new fact or a new perspective that they just refuse, they just rebuff this entire article. I'm telling you, it is pretty hard to dismiss what is in this article, even if you were the most hysterical person. The problem is, not many people are really interested in the facts anymore. We're interested in partisanship. We're interested in being on a side of one thing or another. We're interested in going to the extremes of any view we have. We want to be the furthest one out there, the most extreme in any area. I mean, we don't want to give up an inch or change our minds. That's a shame. It's what's going to end up costing us in the long run. But anyway, great article, gab.com. Search for The Mike Madison Show, and maybe take yourself over to Gab. At least, you know, if you got a foot in Facebook, put another foot in Gab. Just and let people on Facebook know where you're going, where you're trending. Let's go ahead and do this, because when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about the tech hearings yesterday. And I got to tell you, from what I saw, there were a few sharp words. Jim Jordan got pretty tough with him, but from what I saw, big swing and a miss. I don't think you're going to be you can really count on Washington, D.C. to necessarily defang big tech. And I'll give you other reasons for that when we come back, Steve.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Another day, another controversy. Donald Trump has suggested maybe we delay the elections because of the COVID, because he doesn't want to get mail-in voting. I mean, he's just stepped in it again. But he's right. It's so funny to me. I've got a clip. I think I'm going to save it till tomorrow. It's so interesting being an observer of the political process here, not having to carry water for either one of the parties. I don't know why, number one, I don't know why Trump and the Republicans aren't coming out with an alternative plan to mail-in voting. Obviously, the mainstream media and Anthony Fauci and state health departments have made us scared of our own COVID-infected shadow in this country. So you kind of have to address that. Why have the Republicans not come out and said, look, we don't want the big long lines at polling places, or if you don't want to be in big long lines at polling places, you have the choice. Get an absentee ballot, or we will spread voting out over 3 days, 5 days, something like that. They've done nothing but sit back and talk about mail-in voting. Now, my sympathies are there. Mail-in voting is certainly ripe for fraud. I do have one kind of question. If the Republicans are concerned about fraud and mail-in voting, why don't they just cheat too? I mean, do people somehow think that, like, well, this party is so moral, they would never... It's just the Democrats that are such thugs. Now, I'll admit, the Democrats got a kind of a thug vibe to it. The Republican Party is more white-collar crime. They're kind of crime with a... like out of a teacup with a pinky stuck out, you know? It's more calm. It's more reassuring. It's more classy. But, I mean, it does seem like if you're fighting this existential battle for the heart and soul of America in the most important election either, then don't you think maybe Republicans are going, all right, well, look, if they're going to do this, we're going to do this. I mean, to act like we're the Republican Party are just shrinking violets that are just going to let the Democrats cheat and then step aside, it seems kind of odd to me. It seems kind of weak. But they should, if they want to counter mail-in voting to address the concerns of coronavirus, why don't they just announce spreading it out over 5 days? It really kind of makes sense anyway. Maybe voting should be more than just one day. It is inconvenient. I mean, for me personally, if they ever actually give me anybody that I'm willing to get off my butt to go to the polls for ever again, because I'm not sure that's going to happen, but it'd be nice to be able to choose from a couple of days. Sometimes voting day is not good, but they're not giving anything out. Apparently, a couple of Republicans have won recently, too, in mail-in voting elections. Now, I guess the idea is that maybe they'll let some of the Congress critters keep their jobs, but that mail-in voting will just be used to sabotage Donald Trump. But here's the funny thing. As an observer to the two-party system, see, I don't have to carry water for Trump or the Republicans or Biden or the Democrats, nobody. I can't stand much of any of the two-party system. If Barack Obama had come out and said, I think we're going to delay the election, conservatives would be freaking out just like Democrats are freaking out now. There's a lot of talk about on the left, and it's nut job talk. I mean, it is just absolutely crazy. They're talking about Trump rolling out martial law. He won't leave the White House. We've all heard this, right? It just sounds kooky insane. The left just, oh, he's a madman. He's a Hitler. All this stuff we've been listening to for 3 years, and now heading into the election, they're talking about the fact that he won't leave and he may cancel the election. And when you listen to it on the left, it sounds crazy, doesn't it? The funny thing to me is, as an observer again, see, when you're in it, when you're knee-deep in one of these two parties and your vision is so clouded, you can't see this, but I can. So I'll tell you what us observers see. I watched people during the first two terms of Barack Obama say things like, Obama's going to roll out martial law. Obama's going to refuse to leave. I saw this in conservative circles for most of the time that Barack Obama was president. Every time there was election, they're going to steal the election. Barack Obama's not going to leave. He's going to roll out martial law. As a matter of fact, I remember when George Bush was supposed to leave office in 2004 if he was defeated. And I believe the idea was he was going to declare martial law and he was not going to leave. It's just funny to me that everybody can see so clearly the craziness on the other side. They just refuse to see it on their own side as well. What's more important to me right now than Trump saying he may delay the election, although I think this is just a gift. I mean, sometimes Trump says things that's just like wrapping up a present, putting a bow on it, and handing it right to Anderson Cooper at CNN. But another big unemployment surge, 1.4 million more people filed unemployment claims. So the second round of lockdowns or the ending of some of the PPP money or whatever else is going on in this nutso economy we've got right here that has been destroyed by the health Nazis continues to shed jobs and put people on unemployment. And this is funny, too, and I'm going to have to pull something up live here in just a second. The U.S. economy saw the biggest plunge in activity it's ever known in the second quarter, though it wasn't quite as bad as feared. GDP, that's gross domestic product, from April to June plunged 32.9%, according to the Commerce Department's first reading of the data released Thursday. Economists surveyed by Dow Jones had been looking for a drop of 34.7. So look at that. It's better than anticipated. It's only a third. We only lost a third of our total economy. I was looking to see if the market, since it beat, since it wasn't quite as bad as I said, if the market was actually up. But the market is actually down today, strangely enough. I would imagine, I believe the Federal Reserve is meeting again today, so the Fed will announce some policy that will boost the stock market again. This GDP drop was the worst drop ever, with the closest previously coming in 1921. So this is, as they say, the overused word of unprecedented hit to our economy. But, you know, I like to give you a little bit of good news, too. I don't want to just be Debbie Downer here. I want to make sure that everybody understands that there's always a bright silver lining to every dark cloud. And I got to say, the worst quarter of GDP, the worst damage to the U.S. economy in the history of our country is the dark cloud. But there's a silver lining. Well, a couple of them. Look, first, let me couch this by saying it looks like you are going to get another $1,200 check. Yay! You're going to get another $1,200 check. How about that? But the real silver lining came for Kodak's top executive. And as I said yesterday, as I told you about the pharmaceutical industry insiders that were selling billions of dollars of stock over the past couple of months as the government has picked the winners and losers and made all these announcements on, particularly on vaccines and other therapeutics, billions of dollars of insider selling of stock options that have just, I mean, through the roof. The times have never been better to be a pharmaceutical company executive if you are tied in with the government in this Operation Warp Speed. I got to tell you, they're printing money to be a pharmaceutical executive right now. Well, to get in on the game, little old Kodak, I talked about this a little bit yesterday because the stock was up something like, it was up 300% yesterday, I believe. At one point, it was up 500% just yesterday. Wouldn't it have been nice to know that the announcement was going to be made that the government was going to give something like $750 million to Kodak to start a new business line? I just wish I could get a heads up on those things and make 500% on my money, like I'm sure a lot of insiders are doing. But anyway, Kodak executive, just to this, I can only laugh. Let me tell you what happened with the Kodak executive. Again, this is the government picking winners and losers when there's a $765 million loan, the first of its kind, to reduce the U.S.'s reliance on foreign manufacturers. So a $765 million loan was announced to Kodak to get into the drug ingredients business. Let's tell you, let's take a look at what happened with, let's see, the stock tripled in price on Tuesday before closing up. Wednesday, another 317%. This week alone, the stock of Kodak, since they have gotten this this loan from the federal government. I was talking to somebody in the studio earlier, and I said, oh, my gosh, did you see what's, you know, I said, have you heard about this stuff with the Kodak? He said, Kodak? You mean that little camera company? Not anymore, baby. They have found a new place to dwell because the government is doling out millions and billions of dollars. So listen to this. Continenza, James Continenza, interesting last name there. For Continenza, who only took over as the de facto CEO last year, the buying frenzy has resulted in a two-day profit of more than anyone, $200 million in 2 days for the CEO. And remember, hey, you're getting a $1,200 check, so don't get all mad. They're spreading the wealth around. He gets $200 million. He gets $765 million loan from the federal government. You get $1,200. As of Monday, Continenza's 650,000 Kodak shares were worth just $1.3 million. Not too shabby. CEO of a failing company who refused or wasn't smart enough to adjust to the move to digital photography really took Kodak down. But maybe this was the guy to turn it around. As a matter of fact, he's probably earned this money. I mean, this guy has turned Kodak around in a week. So starting the week, he had one point. You know, he looks at his statement. He tries to figure out his stock options. Hey, honey, how much have we got in our stock options? And he looks Monday morning before he goes to work and goes, $1.3 million. And then he smiles at his wife and goes, but watch this. And he pushes send on the press release that says that they just got $765 million from the federal government. And boom! On Monday, his shares were worth just $1.3 million. By Wednesday afternoon, his holdings were worth roughly $215.8 million. Let me do my public school math there. That's a two-day return of $214.5 million in 2 days for the head honcho over at Kodak, courtesy of our federal government. But again, you're getting $1,200, so it all equals out. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. The phone number here is 601-879-0002. If anybody's got tales of a big windfall you've had since the coronavirus hit, because I probably haven't seen headlines about you. I have seen headlines like, I think there was one day where Jeff Bezos made $13 billion in a day. One day. But remember, you're getting $1,200. Twice. Don't you be snippy about that. They gave you a second $1,200 check in the new stimulus bill, if it ever comes around. I also found in the new stimulus bill, I think one of the things they're going to do is they're going to allow 100% deductibility of business meals out. Oh, how about that? Huh? That's right. If you're a business owner and you go out to eat dinner with a client, they didn't used to really figure that as a full. I think it was 50% you could write off. Now they've decided it's 100%. This is to spur more restaurant business. I love the way they think we're kind of like monkeys in Washington, D.C. They adjust our behavior as they see fit. See, it wasn't great to support a business to support a restaurant in 2019. Now it's more important to support a restaurant now. You know, those restaurant owners that were struggling last year because the restaurant business is hard, the government said, they put their finger to their chin and said, what should we give the people for eating out? 70%? No, that's too generous. 30%? Feels a little stingy. They may get a little uppity about that one. Oh, hell, just give them 50%. Okay, 50%. Are libertarians seriously the only ones that understand when you have a large federal government that is doling out trillions of dollars that corruption will inevitably ensue? Are we seriously the only people who understand that? Because it feels like it. I got to tell you, it feels like it. Everybody else, particularly in the two-party system, they just wrestle for control over the $5 trillion a year spending government. This year, it'll be probably $8 or $9 trillion. You don't think somebody who has $8 or $9 trillion or some entity, which is Washington, D.C., our federal government, you don't think somebody that has $8 or $9 trillion to dole out, you don't think that's going to breed corruption? I don't know what the budget is for the prison industry here in the Mississippi. We had a big scandal here of kickbacks just within the prison budget here, didn't we? I don't really remember all the particulars of the case. I got to say, I'm more zeroed in on a lot of national issues. But didn't we have some corruption on just things like the cafeteria contract to the prison system in Mississippi? You can't keep corruption out of just that contract. I'm sure it's a big fat one. You know, but a few hundred thousand, a few million dollars budget on something like that, it just breeds corruption because flawed people serve in governments. And this is the libertarian argument to say, make those damn governments as small as possible. Keep them out of our pockets, because as soon as they get control of some of our income, they become corrupted in doling it out. And I'm going to get to that next hour as I started looking a little bit into lobbying. I think that, you know, lobbying, it should be kind of apparent to everybody what's going on with lobbying, but I don't think people really even understand lobbying. So I'm going to bring it home with some kind of local stories on that. But I'm having a hard time kind of letting go of this story on this Kodak guy, because it is amazing to me to watch the globalists just getting richer and richer, watching the Amazons of the world soar through the roof while hundreds of thousands of small businesses go under. And we don't notice this. Yesterday there was the big tech grilling. I'll get to that in a little bit up on Capitol Hill, or what I like to call the political theater, pretending to care about this stuff while taking money from these same people through the back door, politicians on apparently both sides of the aisle. Thank you, Tucker Carlson, for pointing this out for me. I got to tell you, I was a little unaware. There's another dog and pony show yesterday. But these big global corporations, I mean, Main Street is being absolutely eviscerated during this time, while Wall Street and the globalists are getting wealthier than ever. I was talking about this guy from Kodak. He made in 2 days about $214.5 million on his stock options, because he's in the club. I don't know who his lobbyist is that got into the administration and said, hey, we can make drugs. We ain't doing anything with cameras anymore. This digital kind of spanked us on the butt. We hadn't really been able to respond to that. How about we make pharmaceutical ingredients? And they got somebody in the administration, some lobbyist got to the White House and said, hey, these guys over here, they're ready to make some. Oh, really? How about if we give them $765 million? I mean, Kodak has been reborn. On Wednesday, the CEO of Kodak told CNBC that the initial high-level talks with the government started 2 months ago, and that insiders had known, quote, for over a week that the loan had been approved before it was announced. When asked about the unusual trading in Kodak stock that kicked off Monday, a day before the announcement, that's kind of weird, isn't it? How could there be a lot of trading in essentially what was a failed company in Kodak? Their share was trading, I think, around $2, something like that. Not a lot of volume. People not rushing in to get it to an old camera film company in the age of digital technology. But suddenly, the day before the announcement of the big federal loan, the stock was trading really high. So he was asked about this. When asked about the unusual trading in Kodak stock that kicked off Monday, a day before the announcement, he said he didn't know. Quote, I mean, obviously, this has been a pretty tight-kept secret even until the last day. Well, cat was out of the bag on Monday. Now, again, number here, 601-879-0002. Are you getting the newsletter? Did you trade Kodak stock on Monday? Because apparently there was a lot of activity on it. Maybe I'm the one that's out of the loop. Maybe I'm the only one who didn't know on Monday that Kodak was about to announce the rebirth of their entire company. And I, too, could have gotten some of these 1,700% returns during the course of the week had I known. But apparently a lot of people were trading in it. Now, here's what I tell you, and I got to tell you, I'm in a pretty cynical, sarcastic mood today, because this stuff is so blatant and so disgusting and people so refuse to see it that I can't let go of it. And here's the other thing, too. So I'm trying to figure out how to do this to where I don't turn off Trump supporters and Republicans, because we have a Republican administration doling out these trillions of dollars, billions of dollars to these different groups. And so this will be viewed as anti-Trump or anti-Republican. Who's that radical leftist you got on the air? No, I'm just talking about the corruption. It knows no party. I've told you a million times, Barack Obama's cabinet was picked out by Citigroup. Not one single banker after the 2008 crisis went to jail. That was not an accident. Barack Obama got more money from the big banks than John McCain or Mitt Romney in both of the elections in 2008 and 2012. The corruption is deep here. But let me just ask you this. Is there any chance that our Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, the former Goldman Sachs banker, you think he might have picked up the phone and went, hey, guys, on Tuesday, we're going to announce giving Kodak $765 million. Might want to get out ahead of that thing. Or is that beyond belief? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I misjudge poor Steven Mnuchin. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. This is Robert. How are you?
Hey, Robert. How are you?
I'm good. Surely you don't think that any of the congressmen would have been doing some insider trading on any of that, do you?
I mean,
that's pretty cynical of you.
I mean, I can't imagine. But apparently the day before this thing became public, there was a lot of trading in Kodak stock. And was it you, Robert? Did you buy Kodak stock? Did you just have the foresight and get lucky? Or is there like a newsletter that goes out to the average American that says, hey, this stock's going to go up 17% in the next 3 days. You might want to jump in now. Did you buy?
I can tell you this. If I had, this phone call would be, hey, Mike, let's go to lunch. It's on me.
Yeah.
Okay, but I didn't, so we're not.
So,
but also, there's something. I wonder if Trump's next campaign ads will tout the economic growth that we had so much of in the second quarter.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, it's all about
the greatest economy of all time.
The greatest thing. Well, we couldn't have seen it. We couldn't possibly have seen this coming. And you know, the thing that drives me nuts about that is that COVID didn't cause this. I am going to flip out if I keep hearing people say, yeah, but we got whacked with this virus. Never could have seen it coming. COVID took down the economy. No, our reaction to COVID took down the economy. COVID's a virus.
You know what this sets up? This sets up now. Okay, now we're going into the third quarter. The third quarter numbers will conveniently be, or not conveniently, but they will be announced at the end of October, which will be less than a week from the election, and you will see growth because we had such a retraction in the second quarter. I mean, this is the same people, not just Trump's administration, but, you know, leading up until June, we had lost, what, between 40 and 50 million jobs?
Yeah.
In June, they had a job growth of 4 million. And they touted that as the greatest thing since sliced bread. The greatest in 1 month,
yeah,
in the history of the world.
I know. Well, it's
funny that we'd lost 50 million coming up to it. We got 4 million back, and you would have thought that Jesus had come back.
Yeah. We always look at just the side of the ledger that's convenient to us, you know, depending. We kind of like, you know, you talk about the wealth or the economy in years past, but you don't point to the debt, to the trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars it took just to create 2.9% GDP. Used to be we could have 7% GDP every year with very, very little, if any, debt. Now it cost us, you know, $26 trillion, a few trillion dollars a year, and we only get to 2.9, but that's supposed to be better than the 7% without any debt.
Well, but Mike, we're going to wipe all that debt out with all the growth.
Right. That's one of my favorites. That's an oldie but a goodie.
All the growth is going to take care of all that debt. Don't
yep.
you worry about that.
Yep. Hey, I appreciate the call. I got to run to a break.
Spend money to make money.
That's right. Hey, thanks, Robert. I appreciate it. All right, got to run to a quick break, and I'll come back and continue my sarcastic rant on this stuff. And again, if you traded in Kodak stock on Monday, just give me a call, email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. Let me know where you're getting the heads up on this, because apparently there were a lot of people trading Kodak stock the day before it became public this loan was, and the people on Monday ended up with a 1,700% return. How convenient is that? But again, remember, you got a $1,200 check, and I think they're going to give you another one. All night, with the king.
food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
You know, I feel like I've said this before. I feel like a boxer on some of these topics, like corruption and, you know, some of the two-party shenanigans that goes on. Because I'm different on things, and I know I've got to crack open. I've got to change, and I'm trying to change some minds or wake some people up a little bit to just understand what the system is. Everybody's struggling to get one party or the other in control of it, and I understand that. Look, the left has lost their minds. The Democratic Party is the worst it's ever been, as near as I can tell. The problem is, it's the system. It really almost doesn't matter who has the reins of this thing right now. It's just so corrupt. And I was looking during the break. So I'm like a boxer. I don't know whether to use sarcasm. I don't know whether to just come out. I don't need to, you know, if I need to laugh to make it humorous. I don't know if I need to shout and scream into the microphone. I don't really know. So I do a little bit of all. I try to different tacks on different days just to see if one thing gets through to people and they go, oh, my God, what have we got going on here? Yesterday, and we're going to talk about it next hour, was the dog and pony show of the tech hearings. Do you want to know how effective those were? Let me just tell you, these were hearings yesterday, right, about the thoughts of breaking apart Google and Facebook and Twitter and really, you know, calling big tech to account. And I've got a couple of clips. I didn't really have enough. Probably better clips. Maybe someone can send me some that are interesting, but you know who really knows how bad the tech companies are in danger of getting broken up? The market. Do you know what Google's stock is doing right now? It is down. After this day of big tech monopoly hearings and antitrust commissions, Google's stock is down 0.75%. Right now it is down 0.72%. See, because the markets and the financial people, they know when they see a dog and pony show, nothing's really going to happen to Google. It's not really going to affect their business. I mean, the market is telling you right now that what people saw yesterday on the grilling of the tech CEOs was a big yawn to them. Now, it was political manna for all of the partisans out there. The Democrats got in their shots. Some of the Republicans got in their shots. I'll let Tucker explain a little bit of it, which I was surprised by next hour. But it was theater. And the reason I call it theater is because Google, the stock market, and I'll look during the break and see what Twitter stock and what Facebook stock are doing. We'll see. But as far as Google and YouTube, it is currently down right now 0.7%, which means the markets looked at that and said, there's no chance of them breaking up Google. They're not going to do anything to Google. Now, that may change, but the market will tell you much more truth.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I've got stuff lined up to talk about the tech, big tech being grilled yesterday, really being taken to the woodshed by the Congress critters of both parties and the antitrust. I can't remember the name of the the group, antitrust committee or whatever, you know. I mean, look, I'm no fan of Facebook or Google, and I talk about that pretty regularly on this show. I don't know why people don't exercise their freedom of choice and leaving these platforms, but that's okay. I mean, people, I think, are addicted to these things. But the reason I talk about things like political theater, where a lot of people see, they see their party doing something. Let me give you an example here that maybe conservatives will like, because I'll target the left with this one. All you people on the left, I love watching Democratic politicians come out and tell you they're going to tax the rich. They come out and they tell you, we're going to take, they'll tell you that Donald Trump cut taxes on the rich, and you go, yeah, let's get them. And so the Democratic politician comes out and panders to you, and they say, we're going to raise the top rate. I don't know where the top rate is right now, you know, 31% or something. So Joe Biden will come out, or some other pandering Democrat politician will come out to you, and they'll say, we're going to raise the top limit, the top tax rate on the richest among us to 48% or 62% or whatever nut job. Maybe Bernie Sanders says 75%. They get you all excited, like you're going to really hose the rich. And then they get in and they do these things. They actually do pass legislation through the Democratic Congresses that raise the tax levels. You know, the amount, you know, after a certain amount of income, you're taxed at a higher rate. And the Democrats will pander to you by putting these rules in. What they don't tell you is they're going to do a bunch of carve-outs for the hedge funds and for the truly, truly wealthy elites. But they give you that headline. They give you that headline number. Look, we raised the top rate on rich people to 52%, where Donald Trump had it down at 32%, because we're going to make the rich pay their fair share, and they're going to pay for free college and all that stuff. It's, you don't know, because, I mean, you don't pay attention, to be honest with you, but you don't really do the research that I do. That's fine. Not many people do. What you don't understand is that these uber-wealthy people that you think you're targeting, they help create the tax code. I mean, they create the loopholes in it that keep them from ever getting anywhere close to those top rates. They never pay them. When Barack Obama was in office, long before the Trump tax cuts that you think are just payoffs to the rich, when Barack Obama was in office and, you know, corporations were paying, supposedly they had a 20% tax rate, or was it 28%, whatever the corporate rate was that was just too high. You loved it because you thought you were really sticking it to the corporations, but I pay attention to the financial news, and year after year I'd see, oh, General Electric paid 3%. You think you're sticking it to the big corporations and that they're going to pay for all your pipe dreams of free college and free housing and free food and free everything. These corporations aren't paying anything. They've got armies of attorneys and armies of lobbyists that go to Congress and go, yeah, go ahead, go out there and tell them you're going to raise our rates 28 or 30. We don't really even care. Just make it whatever you want to. But then make sure that you meet with us, get with our accountants and our attorneys. Let's make sure that the tax code reflects a ton of breaks that we'll get so we don't pay any taxes. Jeffrey, who was it? Was it Jeffrey Immelt? I believe it was. He was the chairman of General Electric. He was on Barack Obama's, like, a round table of economic. He was like the head of the economic division, you know, the economic round table with the Obama administration. I'm not giving him the correct title, but he was the CEO of General Electric, and Obama put him on some economic task force. And it came out widely reported that General Electric was paying basically 0 to 3% in taxes each year. But Obama would get behind the microphone and pander to you Democrats, telling you he's soaking the rich on your behalf. No, he's not. The rich are who pay his bills. The rich are who pay for these two political parties. And I'm going to prove that again in just a second. They're not ever going to actually upset the apple cart. The reason I even go into this is because it's so amazing. That's the theater of it. See, the Democrats saying they're going to raise tax rates on the rich. Now, what they do is they screw over, like, the guy who's worked for 25 years to build a plumbing company, and he's finally making $600,000 because he's opened up places in six cities. He's busted his butt all his life as a plumber and then starting a business, and he probably still goes out on Saturday mornings at 2 o'clock in the morning to unplug a toilet because a customer calls him, but he's making good money. Now, he gets screwed. His tax rates do go up under your Democratic administrations. But the CEOs, the uber wealthy, the uber elite, they've got armies of tax accountants and attorneys. They don't pay those rates that the Democrats try to pretend like they pay. And so that's just the theater for you, for your consumption, to make you feel warm and fuzzy like the Democrats are fighting for you. They're taking that money from the rich and they're going to bring it to you. Hang on, sweet baby. Joe Biden's going to come rescue everybody. But political theater goes all over the place. And I'm going to tell you why I'm even mentioning this right now is because, so they had the big tech hearings yesterday, right? They grilled them. And these were hearings about breaking apart Facebook, breaking apart Twitter and YouTube and Google and all of these companies. They have too much of a monopoly, right? Let me tell you what the stock prices of those companies are doing a day after the grilling. I told you before the break, Google was down like 0.7%. Just a big meh. Because the market knows nothing that happened in Congress yesterday is going to result in the end of Google. Let me tell you about the other tech names, too. How about Facebook? Facebook is down less than 1% today, as of the break anyway. You know, these things fluctuate. Down 0.9%. Twitter is down 1.4%. Ooh. Now, see, you understand, if somebody sat in a hot seat in front of Congress, and if the Congress was threatening to break apart their company, if Congress laid a glove on them and everybody just went, oh, my God, they're really going to break apart Google, what do you think Google stock would be trading at today? It'd be down 30%. No, today it's down like 0.7%, not even 1%. Because the market looks at this stuff and goes, oh, yeah, we know what they're doing. They're playing to their constituencies while they're taking money from these tech companies. More on that in just a second. Amazon stock, ooh, it's down 0.5% today. They must have really gotten under Jeff Bezos' skin. They must really be a threat to Amazon. The stock is down 0.5%. Wall Street watched those hearings yesterday and went, oh, yeah, that's cute and all, but nothing's going to happen. These companies are going to keep getting bigger. They're going to keep getting more powerful. And the reason they are is because they keep donating to Congress critters. Does that make sense? Does the concept of political theater, it's a show. It's a show put on for you. And, you know, I've talked about this before. They've done studies where they show that when big special interests want a bill passed, it's got like almost 100% chance of passing. When the American people kind of all get together and they want something passed, it's got about a 30% chance of passing. When big government, big corporations, when big special interests oppose a bill, it has almost zero chance of passing. When the American people oppose a bill, it has about a 30% chance of failing. See what I mean? They've got 100% control. Occasionally, you've got one-third control over legislation, what the people want. And so when I come back, we'll play some clips from this because, I mean, it's kind of important, but I think, I don't know, it's quite obvious that big tech is censoring conservatives, censoring information. It is tricking people. It is misleading people. It is propagandizing to people. It is hiding the truth from people. It is hiding alternative views from people. It is wildly dangerous, I think, psychologically, as things like Twitter and Facebook and these things are tremendously psychologically damaging. Social media, I think, is ripping this country apart. I think it's a big part of it. I mean, if I looked at everything, whether it's, you know, race stuff or class stuff, socialism versus the system. I mean, all of these things. I would say social media is a third just of the fact that all of these nut jobs in different constituencies can all find each other online now. Used to be, you know, in Jackson, Mississippi, if you were a socialist, you probably really didn't have many fellow travelers. You got like four people. What are you going to do with four people? But now those four people can connect with the 30 people down in New Orleans and then the 40 people over in Birmingham. And then suddenly they've got the 200 people out in California, and they can all gather in one place and they all rile each other up. And suddenly you've got a movement. You've got an Antifa. But nothing's happening to these companies. Anyway, I'll come back with it, and then I'm going to play this clip from Tucker Carlson where he makes a point that I got to tell you, I didn't even really know, but he sent me down a rabbit hole of kind of looking at some of the big tech contributions, even to our people here in Mississippi. I think it's worth examining. Be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
So we're going to get into some clips here from the tech grilling yesterday. There was some interesting stuff there. I've got a couple of clips I'm actually going to ignore. I've kind of talking so much about political theater, and I had some kind of political theater things to play that really are kind of don't really matter. This was Jim Jordan. He did a good job of kind of really kind of laying out the case for the censorship against conservatives. I imagine he probably, you know, I think they get 5 minutes to do these things. He probably could have gone on for about an hour, because I knew, and if you listen to this, you'll know of other examples of conservatives that have been censored from social media that he doesn't include in this list. It's a rapid-fire list, and just think about that. He's still leaving stuff out, not, you know, just for constraints of time. He couldn't get to it all.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I also want to thank the ranking member of this subcommittee, Mr. Sensenbrenner. I'm not sure how many more committee hearings this subcommittee or the full committee are going to have this Congress, but I want to thank Jim for his great work for the constituents of his district in Wisconsin for this many years and for the work he has done for this entire committee.
Yawn.
I'll just cut to the chase. Big Tech's out to get conservatives. That's not a suspicion. That's not a hunch. That's a fact. July 20th, 2020, Google removes the homepages of Breitbart and the Daily Caller. Just last night, we learned Google has censored Breitbart so much traffic has declined 99%. June 16th, 2020, Google threatens to demonetize and ban the Federalists. April 19th, 2020, Google and YouTube announce a policy censoring the content that conflicts with recommendations of the World Health Organization. Now, think about that. The World Health Organization, the organization that lied to us, the organization that shielded for China. And if you contradict something they say, they can say whatever they want. They can lie for China. They can shield for China. You say something against them, you get censored. June 29th, 2020, Amazon bans President Trump's account on Twitch after he raises concerns about defunding the police. June 4th, 2020, Amazon bans a book critical of the coronavirus lockdowns written by a conservative commentator. May 27th, 2020, Amazon Smile won't let you give to the Family Research Council and the Alliance Defense Fund, but you can give to Planned Parenthood. Facebook, June 19th, 2020, takes down posts from President Trump's reelection campaign. November 1st, 2018, Facebook silences a pro-life organization's advertisement. May 19th, 2016, former Facebook employees admit Facebook routinely suppresses conservative views. And I haven't even mentioned Twitter, who we actually invited, Mr. Chairman. We asked for you guys to invite him as one of our witnesses. You guys said no. I haven't even mentioned them. 2 years ago, they shadow banned two members of this committee. Four members of Congress were shadow banned 2 years ago. 435 in the House, 100 in the Senate, 535. Only four. Only four. Gates, Meadows, Nunes, Jordan. Only four get shadow banned. And, of course, what did Mr. Dorsey tell us? He said, oh, it was just a glitch in our algorithm. I asked him, what'd you put in the algorithm? The names Gates, Meadows, Nunes, Jordan? I mean, if I had a nickel for every time I heard it was just a glitch, I wouldn't be as wealthy as our witnesses, but I'd be doing all right. We've heard that excuse time and time again. May 28th, Twitter censors President Trump's tweet on the riots in Minneapolis. May 29th, 2020, Twitter censors the White House for quoting the president's comments about the riots in Minneapolis. June 23rd, 2020, Twitter censors the president again for saying he'll enforce the rule of law against any autonomous zone in Washington, D.C. You can tweet all you want about the autonomous zone that happened in Seattle, but the president tweets that he's not going to have one in Washington, D.C. Nope, can't do that.
So he goes on. I mean, it's pretty impressive. You know, one thing strikes me about Jim Jordan, and it's kind of interesting because Tucker Carlson interviewed him last night. Jim Jordan's got some great sound bites. Doesn't he kind of fire you up? I mean, I tell you, when you listen to him talk, he seems like a very smart guy, very capable guy, kind of a bulldog and all of these types of things. But here's the thing, the question that I have, and this is actually an honest question. What has he done? Like, what's come out of all the fire and brimstone from Jim Jordan? And I'm not calling him a bad guy. He seems like one of the better guys. He certainly seems like one of the smarter guys. But what has come? I mean, there's a whole lot of passionate speech about the Russia hoax, about the spying on the Trump campaign. Did they roll back the Patriot Act? Did they strip the FBI of any of these surveillance powers? You know, what they really should do, but of course no one pays any attention to that. When it comes to big tech stuff, it seems like big tech, I'm looking around, Facebook, Twitter, they're going unmolested. They're getting worse with their censorship. This has been an issue for 4 years now, at least. Pretty serious issue during the Trump campaign. Nothing's actually happened. Now, the stock market's telling us that nothing's going to happen after these hearings yesterday. But Jim Jordan's very, very good about giving the speeches. He's very, very good about going on the talk shows. He's very, very smart guy. He's very accomplished. He feeds a lot of red meat to the base. But what is the result of anything that Jim Jordan has done? Has anybody gone to jail? Has any company been broken up? Has anything changed with all of his fiery speech? I don't know. I'm asking that honestly. Maybe I'm missing something. I just found this one to be kind of disgusting. They're talking about, I believe this is about removing this is America's frontline doctors when they jumped in at Google to remove the America's frontline doctors video from, I mean, it's hard to find now. You can go to BitChute and find it, but they jumped on it within just really a few hours. I think they censored this thing completely offline, and they were asked about it, and this is the CEO of Google.
And I recognize the gentleman from Florida, Mr. Stubbe, for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just going to pick up where I left off. Mr. Pichai, there are rioting groups that are going unchecked with the posting of what I would contend is very violent video, yet yesterday I was sent a YouTube video about doctors discussing hydroxychloroquine and discussing the not dangers of children returning to school. And when I clicked on the link, it was taken down. And then I was sent a different link on YouTube and it was taken down. I just checked again just to make sure. And it says that this video has been removed for violating YouTube's community guidelines. How can doctors giving their opinion on a drug that they think is effective for the treatment of COVID-19 and doctors who think it's appropriate for children to return back to school violate YouTube's community guidelines when all of these videos of violence is all posted on YouTube?
Congressman.
Breitbart, what are you doing to me? I love these things, too. Let me just give you a heads up while I've got this here. Breitbart's got an ad in the middle of this thing that says, should the U.S. deport illegal immigrants? This is on Breitbart, something by United Voice, and you get to vote yes or no. If you click through on that, you do understand that they're just harvesting your information, right? They you do know that they run an ad, I mean, a little poll on Breitbart that they know you will click on, so they can harvest a little bit of data on you. They're not interested in they just give you the question that they know you'll engage on, so they can take your, that poll's not going anywhere. It's not going to affect any policy. They know that everybody on Breitbart, dang near everybody, 99.9% of people on Breitbart want illegal immigrants deported. They know that. They put that there. I'm just kind of a heads up. I hate these polls that pander to both left and right. Here, vote in this poll. You know, on Huffington Post, you'll see something like, should Donald Trump be removed from office? Well, duh, at Huffington Post, of course, are people really that stupid where they go, oh, yeah, I want to vote on that because, yeah, I think he should. Oh, I'm sorry. Pet peeve time. Let me get back to this answer from Google CEO about why they took down the America's Frontline Doctors video.
A lot of debate on YouTube about effective ways to deal with COVID. We allow robust debate, but in the area during a pandemic, look to local health authorities. So for example, in the US, it would be CDC for guidelines around medical misinformation in a narrow way, which could cause harm in the real world. And so for example, if there is aspects of a video and if it explicitly states something could be a proven cure, and that doesn't meet CDC guidelines, you know, we would...
It's free expression of speech, and you have these doctors who are giving their opinion as doctors, and I don't understand why YouTube and therefore Google thinks it's appropriate to silence physicians and their opinion of what can help and cure people with COVID-19.
That is truly amazing. What they are doing with big tech, which is especially chilling to me, is that they are essentially setting up an authoritarian rule. It's not just against conservatives, you know, necessarily. I mean, it is. I understand. But it is about anybody outside of the narrative they want to drive. And when you think that places like Google want to force you into only accepting whatever the CDC says, like the CDC is some infallible agency. I don't know how many times I've gone after the CDC on this show and their tremendous failures in people's health from year to year to year to year, along with the WHO, along with the FDA here. You want to talk about some worthless organizations? Just look at our government agencies, the CDC, the FDA, the SEC. I mean, what do I have to go through? I mean, all of these are terrible, but Google's job now is to let the government roll out a narrative. And then their job is to go out and crush any counters to the government narrative. That is absolutely chilling to me. But that's exactly what they're doing. What the guy just said is that, you know, we like robust debate, except when, and this is what I say, this is always the thing you need to be on guard for. We really like a free society, except when the government tells us there's a bunch of terrorists out there, and then we want the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act. I really like freedom, except when my neighbor does something that I don't like. I don't approve of something that they do, so I'm not really a big fan of freedom there. I really like the government to not spend so much money, except when it goes to the military. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody's got their little except, which just destroys any ideological consistency anywhere. But Google and YouTube and these platforms, they really are. I mean, they are hurtling us towards some kind of an authoritarian, totalitarian government. It is just absolutely disturbing. And to think this came from a bunch of Silicon Valley nerds, I got to tell you, it caught me a little off guard from where I thought they might have taken us, you know, 20 years ago. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. We're listening to a little bit of this tech testimony today. It just felt to me like a big bunch of nothing. And when I was watching it, really, I got to tell you, I go into most things thinking it's a big bunch of nothing. It's political theater. They put these shows on to try to get their constituents to think they're actually doing something for them. And then in the back door comes all the money from the people they're grilling. I mean, you know, the tobacco company executives. I went out there and told her, oh, no, nicotine's not addictive. And you find out the people are taking, you know, tobacco company money. They have the drug executives on there. The pharmaceutical companies, since they've appeared in front of Congress on various different issues, have just gotten bigger and wealthier since they've been in front of Congress. So this stuff just really doesn't impress me. I was kind of relieved to see Tucker Carlson wasn't real impressed with what took place yesterday either.
America's tech monopolies are subverting our democracy. They are interfering with our presidential election far more aggressively and more effectively than Vladimir Putin ever did. And mostly they're doing it in secret. Most voters don't even know what's happening. But sometimes the interference is brazenly obvious. Just this week, they censored a video of doctors expressing views on science that the tech oligarchs feared would hurt Joe Biden's election chances. So they snatched it off the internet. Those same tech oligarchs testified before Congress today. It was a perfect opportunity for Republicans to represent their voters and to protect the country. But mostly, they didn't. In some cases, they embarrassed themselves. Here's Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner of Wisconsin confronting Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook. Unfortunately, Sensenbrenner asked Zuckerberg about something that Twitter did.
It was reported that Donald Trump Jr. got taken down for a period of time because he put something up on the efficacy of hydroxychloroquine. Why did that happen?
Congressman, well, first, to be clear, I think what you might be referring to happened on Twitter, so it's hard for me to speak to that.
Right. Wrong company. Are these people even trying? Or maybe they're throwing the fight on purpose.
Uh-huh.
At one point, Sensenbrenner questioned Jeff Bezos of Amazon. Here's how it went.
Let me ask Mr. Bezos, you know, say the AT&T example was applied to Amazon, and you were required to spin stuff off. So you might have no more of a one-stop shop, but you have to go to separate places for books or groceries or videos or electronics. How are the consumers helped by that?
Sir, thank you. They would not be. Very clear.
Right.
Oh, Mr. Bezos, would it be good for America if we curbed your power? No, it would be bad, Mr. Sensenbrenner. Okay. Next question. Sensenbrenner never followed up. Nor did he ask a lot of other obvious questions. He didn't ask Bezos why Amazon gives the Southern Poverty Law Center, the hate group, the power to deny charitable contributions to Christians. That might have been interesting. Or whether Bezos has used his personal newspaper, the Washington Post, to promote coronavirus lockdowns because Amazon profits from the quarantines. Or why the world's richest man, someone who made $13 billion in one day, treats so many of his workers like Bangladeshis in a sweatshop.
Okay, I'm going to move ahead in this. He has the guy Cigar. I can't believe it. I can't remember his last name. He does a show, I think, on The Hill. It's actually a pretty entertaining show. It's he's kind of the conservative, and there's a liberal on there too. Let me see if I can get to this next part, because this is the stuff that kind of I was a little surprised to hear this, but it got me doing a little bit of digging on political contributions. This is another conservative on the Tucker Carlson show talking about the Republicans and big tech.
Simple. Stop complaining. Sagar Njeti is an opinion host at The Hill. He's followed this topic for quite some time. We're happy to have him on tonight. So, Sagar, why don't you just start your own Google?
Well, it's a great question, isn't it, Tucker? I don't have access to hundreds of billions of dollars in capital and the market dominance that Google has. And even if I did, it's very likely that Google would not allow me to ever get as big as they are. So it just goes to show you how Republicans really missed the beat whenever it came to these hearings today, Tucker. They told us that they care about bias. And I'm very heartened to hear that. I'm heartened to hear that they care about censorship. But why exactly is bias such a problem in the first place? It's because of the market power of these companies. So if you're not willing to fight or even ask critical questions about market power of these companies, then you've kind of given away the entire game or the solution to the bias that you purport to care about. So they can go to their voters. They can say, oh, well, we confronted Mark Zuckerberg or so-and-so about bias, but we're not actually going to do anything about it whenever it comes to, I don't know, fulfilling their public responsibilities as a member of the United States Congress.
So here's what I understand. These are politicians. They respond to basic stimuli. They want to win. They don't want to lose. The most powerful companies in the world are now weapons in the arsenal of the Democratic National Committee. They're working on behalf of the Joe Biden campaign to stop the president from being reelected and to stop Republicans from keeping the Senate, for example. Don't they care?
Why would they care, Tucker? Because Jim Sensenbrenner is still going to get his check from Google. Many of these people make more money in opposition. In fact, many of the conservative infrastructure who is funded by Google and many of these other tech giants that you're talking about here, they love being in opposition because then they don't actually even have to pretend to do anything and they can continue to cash their checks. They all have lobbying groups that are waiting for them. I've been on a personal crusade highlighting how many Republican staffers, yes, Republican staffers, are working for the Chinese Communist Party-controlled TikTok organization. They don't care about patriotism. They don't care about voters. They don't care about data or privacy or bias or censorship. They care about one thing, and that's making money and paying for their second homes.
It does seem like, I just want to end on this really quickly, their voters care. I mean, your average non-progressive understands that small groups of people who control all the information are probably too powerful to have a democracy. You can't have a democracy in that kind of system. Do you think voters understand that? Seems like they do.
Voters absolutely understand that, Tucker. They keep asking their representatives, please fight for me. Please stand up for me. And over again, you get what you got today, which is an embarrassing display of, can you imagine a member of Congress in the 1900s asking John D. Rockefeller or J.P. Morgan whether they thought they were too powerful or what the market harm would be if the government were to break them up? It's patently absurd.
Yeah. These guys are way more powerful than Rockefeller or Carnegie or any of them. Tucker, thanks.
Now, let me toot my own horn a little bit. This is one of the things, this is one of the games that I talk about on this show a lot. Obamacare is a big example of this. It was really great for the Republicans when they were in the minority to talk about how they needed to take down Obamacare. They raised, I can't imagine how many millions of dollars they raised in campaigns in what, 2012, 2014, 2016, 2018. They're constantly telling us we're going to repeal Obamacare. And then, of course, they said repeal and replace. They were the fighting against Obamacare. They came out and talked about how bad Obamacare was. Now, here's the political theater. This is what you're fed. Here's the narrative that you're supposed to accept. Barack Obama is a radical leftist, and he put this central government mandated, this kind of quasi-socialist medical system on all of us, and the conservatives pretend like they are the free market guys, and they're fighting against Obamacare. There's two things wrong with that. Here's the first one. What Barack Obama did was not some for-the-people populist healthcare thing. It was written by the health insurance industry. So Barack Obama fooled his people into thinking he was doing something to address this catastrophe of 20 to 30 million people under, you know, uninsured. No, the health insurance industry looked at that 20 or 30 million people that couldn't afford insurance, and they went, hey, wait a second. That's a lot of money in premiums sitting out there. Hey, Barack, how about you set up a little law, force people to buy some insurance if they can't afford it? Maybe the government coffers, you know, the taxpayer picks up the tab and subsidizes some of it. We want to get those 20 or 30 people on our rolls, right? You understand what I'm saying? Obamacare was a corporate giveaway to the health insurance lobby. It wasn't some populist thing because Barack Obama cared about you. So that's the first lie. On the other side, the Republican side is, the Republicans, and I've done research on this, and I've done these shows about it before, Republicans were taking money from the health insurers while they were pretending to campaign against Obamacare. And the health insurers essentially said behind closed doors, look, go knock yourselves out. I know your constituents want to hear you say you're against Obamacare. You're in the minority. Bark as loud as you want. It's not going anywhere. So you're cool with us. We'll still give you money. We'll still contribute to your campaigns. You can go out there and trash the Obamacare. Because actually, and this is the health insurers talking, they said, actually, the American people don't even really know it was a giveaway to us anyway. Barack Obama couched it as some kind of a federal program. So the Republicans were free to go out and make a bunch of noise about it because they knew they would never do anything about it. And they were taking money. If the Republicans had gotten rid of Obamacare, that would have hurt the health insurance lobby. Health insurers, not uninsured people. Uninsured people didn't benefit from Obamacare. Poor people maybe got a subsidy from the federal government. But it was one big charade. So the Republicans flailing their arms saying, Obamacare, Obamacare, get us into Congress so we can get this Obamacare off of us. They were never genuine about that. Then they were smart. They started saying, uh-oh, in case we actually get some power here and we get called to the carpet, we'll call it repeal and replace. Meaning that if the Republicans ever got enough power and actually did want to change Obamacare, the health insurance lobby had something that they could propose that would still benefit the health insurance lobby. Neither the Republicans or the Democrats are cutting off the money from health insurers. That's a big fat cash cow for them. So the Republicans went from repeal Obamacare to repeal and replace, which would have been another, if they had ever done it. The funny thing is they didn't even really do it. I mean, I don't know how many election cycles did they campaign on repealing Obamacare? Still couldn't quite get it done. That's why I call it political theater. See? It's just the show. They're showing you on the screen. It's not real. I'm sure some Republicans and Democrats don't like each other, just like sometimes people who work together don't like each other. But boy, it's much more like professional wrestling than it is some big political slugfest for the soul of America. No, the soul has been bought and paid for. It's already gone. They're all just fighting for their pieces of it. I did do a little bit of research because I thought that was interesting. The Republicans had taken this money and that Sensenbrenner has taken checks from Google. And later in the interview, I'm not going to play it. I don't have time. But Tucker asked Jim Jordan, hey, why'd you take a check from Google? That was kind of one of those moments. I kind of did the dog tilt of the head, eyebrow up. Huh? Jim Jordan says something like, well, if they want to exercise their First Amendment rights and give me money, then I'll take it. Well, why do you think Google gave money to Jim Jordan? Why do you think that is? They just might like his haircut or they think he's a great guy. Well, they did it because they know what committees he's on and they want to just tap him on the shoulder and go, hey, you can make all your noises you want to, do a big speech, make us the boogeyman, whatever, as long as you don't mess with us in any appreciable way. And the market is telling you today that Google and Facebook and Twitter have no fear of being broken up, judging by their stock price today. I did do a little bit of research just out of hearing these Republicans, that Republicans are working on the board of TikTok with the communist government. How about that? And no, you didn't just turn into some left-wing show. The Democrats are knee-deep in all this corruption, too, but I'm talking to a conservative audience, so it's a teachable moment for us on the right, huh? Cindy Hyde-Smith got $5,000 from Google. I think this is the 2019 disclosures. You can find all this stuff on opensecrets.org. Cindy Hyde-Smith got $5,000 from Amazon, $2,500 from Facebook, and $5,000 from Google. Based on Federal Election Commission data available electronically on June 10th, 2019. Cindy Hyde-Smith, just I like to throw this number out there, she actually got 9.73% of her campaign contributions came from small individual donors of contributions under 200. Now, that's still not a whole lot. When you're getting, you know, 90% from big money people, can we just admit they serve big money people in special interest? But at least she got almost 10% from average ordinary Joes. Roger Wicker got $23,700 from Google. Now, he only gets 2.85% of his campaign contributions come from individual donors under $200, small little donors like you and me. That's what I tell you. Quit. Go support a local business. Quit giving these politicians money. You're a rounding error to Roger Wicker. He may be the nicest guy in the world. No offense, Roger. Not trying to block you here, but you're a rounding error. 2.85%. All of you people who sent contributions to Roger Wicker under $200, you're 2.85%. He could make one more phone call to some corporation and make up for everything that all of you gave. Michael Guest, pretty tame fundraising. I don't mean to say lame. It's pretty tame. He didn't have to raise a whole lot of money. He got 2.13% from individuals, the rest from PACs and the Republican Party and big donors. But when I come back, I'm just only going to have a few minutes. God, I may have to hold this over. Both Wicker and Cindy Hyde-Smith had the BGR group as one of their top donors. That's Haley Barbour's lobbying group. So I took a look at that website for just a second, just to get some kind of interesting information. I think I've got time to get to it. Well, let's just take a look at what our Mississippi's own top lobbyist is up to these days. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, last few minutes of the show. I wish I had a little bit more time for this, but I'll get through it quick. You know, listen, you didn't turn into some radical left-wing hippie in here. I'm hard on the Republican Party because they broke my heart. I used to be really dedicated to them until something started smelling a little fishy, like the prescription drug program, the endless wars, the spying on Americans. I went, wait a second, that's conservatism now? They left me. I didn't leave them. One of Mississippi's favorites, Republicans, Haley Barbour. Done very well for himself. Maybe a great guy. Seems very personable. I know he's a big hero here, but I just thought I'd point this out because I noticed BGR Group was a big donor to both Wicker and, I think, in the top five of both Wicker and Cindy Hyde-Smith. BGR Group The B is for Barber, Haley Barber. This is his lobbying group. Yeah, when he left being governor, he didn't go become a greeter at Walmart or go out and just start fishing. Let me read a little bit about BGR group for you. This is the Republican standard bearer in Mississippi, by the way, you know, a deeply red state. Maybe more red than you think. Listen to this. This is what BGR Group's website says. With offices in Washington, Austin, Beijing, and London, and extensive business relationships around the world, the bipartisan firm's clients include Fortune 500 companies, foreign governments, trade associations. It goes through this whole thing. They're the kind of the fixers for just about everybody. I'm running out of time, but I definitely wanted to get to this. I decided to take a look and see who some of BGR, this is Haley Barber's lobbying firm, who their top clients are. Looks like their top client, what is this period? It's 2019. Now, this is lobbying the U.S. federal government where decisions are made. And then again, they've got $5 trillion this year, $8 or $9 trillion sloshing around to hand out. Who did Haley Barber's firm lobby for the hardest? Well, the number one, they got $800,000 from the government of Bahrain. Wonder what the government of Bahrain has to do with the U.S. federal government that they would give Haley Barber's group $800,000 to represent them. What contracts are going to Bahrain? What military involvement is going out to help Bahrain? How many of our soldiers are being used to help Bahrain? I don't know. I'll have to research it. The second one was government of India, $720,000. Some kind of weird ones. The government of Azerbaijan, $510,000 last year. There's some others, some hospital groups, American Beverage Association. This was an interesting one. Scott's Miracle-Gro gave Haley Barber's lobbying group $360,000 last year. What in the world is a plant food company doing giving $360,000 for lobbying the federal government? Have we got some kind of a plant food contract out there? I'm sure we do. Again, the government's got trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars to dole out. Apparently, Scott's Miracle-Gro wants a tasty bit of that treat. Again, I don't have enough time. This next one was interesting. Carlos Ghosn. This is the disgraced Renault-Nissan head who was accused of criminal activity. He gave $300,000 to Haley Barber's organization last year. And it goes on and on. As I say, I'm running out of time, but I could get into this. This is just, you know, this whole hour has been about the fact that there is no difference between these parties, except for what they say. The show they put on for each side of you. Democrat, liberal, Republican, conservative, you think you're getting something different than the other side, but in the end, it's all the same. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.